Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens.
Hello.
And an honorary member, or probably a member at this point of the Mad Trio Show, Matt Brewer.
Giggity.
So our other co-host is getting an event of a lifetime, and we won't go further than that until the little squirmy bastard actually tells us on the show.
Anyways, so we've all kind of basically been done with superhero themed and movies and television and whatever else they do.
Crispy fried.
Video games, I guess, as well. Now, I didn't know this was actually a Dark Horse comic, but have you guys looked into the Umbrella Academy?
Umbrella Academy. No.
I've been told I need to, but I haven't yet.
It's a Netflix original. And I was kind of staying away from it at first just because, as we said, superheroes have been crispy fried, according to John. But, you know, I actually enjoy the show. I was actually kind of surprised because we had Legion a couple of years ago came out, the one about Xavier's son.
Mm.
But this one, I'm actually kind of impressed with it. I really didn't know it was a Dark Horse comic.
So it's a comic or a live action?
It's a live action. It's one of their Netflix's original series.
I'm just really burned out on comic book movies.
I kind of feel the same way, but this one is really well done so far.
I don't know. Nothing about it really makes me want to... Like, because I just saw the trailer for the new Dark Phoenix.
Oh.
So I'm kind of burned out on superheroes, though. And I don't want to be, but... They just feel so unoriginal, and none of them, the First Class was the last one that made me go, oh, amazing. Everything now just seems like retread. And I
give you credit there. Yeah. I was excited to see First Class and I really did enjoy it, but, I don't know. Like I said, I stayed away from this one initially. It was probably out for like 3 weeks before. I don't even know when it was released, but it's been about 3 weeks.
Netflix,
I just kind of ignoring it. Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
But it's an interesting take on it. I mean, plot devices as far as the things go. I mean, it's somebody trying to prevent the end of the world type thing, which is basically what you have to do with all superhero things. You have to prevent some big disaster or they're really not a superhero, right?
Yeah, see, what I really want, and I don't think they did a good job at doing what I want in any of the X-Men movies, is I kind of want the civil rights thing. I think if you do it right, because if you watch the X-Men
Sabretooth son.
Yeah, that from the 90s cartoon was really well done. I think especially in today's society, I think that's a topic that would do very well.
And what was the sewer mutants? What was their name again? What was the name of that group?
Matt, you have any idea?
X-Men?
In X-Men?
Yeah.
Sewer mutants.
Morlocks?
Shoot. Morlocks, yes.
Yes, you're right. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one that Storm took over as their leader type thing.
I don't know. I still think the X-Men universe has such a rich storytelling, and I just haven't been impressed by anything. I mean, the last
really
one was good.
I really didn't like what they did with the Four Horsemen.
No. I kind of think maybe they should do what DC's doing and stick to, for the X-Men a while, stick to the animation. Because what they're doing for animation is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
We talked about last week, it was it Gaslighting? Gaslight?
Yeah.
Batman Gaslight, there was the Samurai one. It has so much potential, and the live actions just suck.
Yeah.
The only thing I liked about the fourth one is the one with the Four Horsemen is I like what they did with Apocalypse. I liked that bit because
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I would agree with you there.
The Four Horsemen, I wasn't impressed with. Even the chick who played with Shylock, she was the one everybody was like, "Oh, this is gonna be amazing."
Oh yeah, Shylock, yeah.
What do you think? What'd you any X-Men movies you hated or disliked, Matt?
Me,
yeah.
Hated Origins, the Wolverine.
Mm. Oh yeah, Origins was awful.
I thought they could have done a lot of really, really good with that, but it felt like a film by committee. And yeah, not good.
Or an Uwe Boll movie.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
My favorite part of the X-Men origins is when Wolverine went to sit on the motorcycle and it bottomed out.
That was pretty cool.
Everything else, like you guys said, there's nothing about the X-Men movies, especially that one. And what they did to Deadpool. Oh, my God.
I really enjoyed the first one.
Well, the first one, when it came out, I liked because it was the first superhero movie in a while. And it was the X-Men who have always, I've been a raging fanboy of. And then it didn't sit well. It was kind of like eating bad sushi. Like, it's good at first, but after a while, you begin to regret watching it.
No, if you eat bad sushi, you're not going to enjoy it at first.
Well, it's just like, because the second one was okay, and the third one was awful, and I don't know, I just was not impressed.
Are you talking about X-Men?
Well, the original trilogy.
Okay, I was going to say the original trilogy, the first one was okay, the second one...
I liked, because you got to see Wolverine go buck.
Yeah, but you also got to see Nightcrawler.
Yes.
That was an amazing sequence, which they tried to recreate in First Class, which was really well done with that guy.
Why don't they do an origin story with him? Because I actually think that would be pretty badass. It'd be a great way to touch on...
Nightcrawler?
Yeah, because you think about it. So you start as a guy who looks completely different. Go back to the civil rights thing. And go into him fighting people's reaction towards him being... this blue guy with a tail. I think it'd be good. And then you could work that in somehow into him coming into the United States or into the rest of the X-Men civil rights. I think that would be a great way to touch it off. Because he's not a character they've really touched on a lot.
Mm.
I mean, he's in there, but it's not, they haven't done too much with him. They've just done enough to butter the toast. I think you could go full, farther into it.
Yeah, but the only problem is that, relatively speaking, Nightcrawler is a super niche character with no wide appeal. Like, he's not marketable to norms,
Yeah, that's why they were been toying with the Gambit thing for so long.
I keep hearing they're going to do it. I mean, if they're going to do Gambit, I want to see, was it the Thieves and what was it, Assassins?
Yep.
I'd love to see that because I loved that. I think it was a couple episodes, but I liked that episode in the original cartoon.
I think it was two episodes. I think it was just part one and two.
They just got to find somebody who can do the right, Creole accent or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard accent to fake.
Mm-hmm. That's why nobody does it.
Well, the guy from True Blood and something else, I can't think of him as well. But that guy, there was a guy, I can't think of his name either, that did a really good fake Creole accent. I've seen him in a couple movies. I think if they got him, they could do it. True Blood fans know who I'm talking about, but I don't know.
The other thing is I'd love is a reboot on the Constantine movie, but I want the guy from the TV series because I loved that guy.
It was so good. That was so good. It was a shame that it was canceled when it was, but that's ABC for you or NBC. One of those alphabets.
Wasn't it the CW?
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Still has enough. They're probably all owned by Disney anyway. So
I guarantee they are.
But I don't want to see the one thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see him because they've had him on one of the CW shows. I cannot remember. It's the one where the time traveling spaceship, which is.
Are you talking about Doctor Who?
No. It's the Arrowverse, it's all that, but there's this time-traveling spaceship, and he's been on...
Defenders.
Is that it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, he's been on that, and I just thought they, for lack of a better expression, they kind of dumbed down the thing I like about him, which was kind of his dark, the darkness to the TV show of his. You know, it had this very kind of gritty, dark-esque feeling to it versus put him on Defenders, and he's just kind of this British dude.
Huh, yeah.
Who can somehow cast magic and go into people's souls, It was just, I don't know. I think they kind of tarted the character up. I think if you're going to do it, I want something that scares children. I want, because if you read his origin stories, it's really seeped in the occult, or at least the one that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a couple of origin stories for him.
Yeah. I only know of the one, but. They probably do. I don't know.
Because the one I'm aware of...
switch it much.
And you or Matt can tell me I'm wrong. Is the one I'm aware of is he summons... he gets talked into summoning some sort of demon, doesn't know how to control it, and it kills his family or something. And it goes off from there. Then it goes the story about his daughter being killed because he's a cursed person, you know, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
That sounds about right.
I don't know. I just love Constantine. And Keanu Reeves' one was decent. I mean, I thought the feel of it was good. I just thought they turn it into an action movie. And I think if you do an action drama movie, maybe a little less action, a little bit more drama, I think you could get the tone. I think that would be good. At least the first one.
Yeah, for sure.
I think if they're going to do a Constantine film, they just need to wipe the slate clean.
How?
Just start with an origin story that they're going to base it off.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, but...
like, not even, you know, like 100% restart, like they've done with the Batman movies 1,000 times.
Well, the origin story for Batman has always been the same. I mean, his parents backtalk Alfred, so he hired a killer to go kill him.
Because in the Keanu Reeves movies, he was a suicide.
God. No.
Because that's not what he is in the comic book. So I want based off the comic book.
Just don't bring up the Keanu Reeves Constantine.
Keanu Reeves. So he's like Beetlejuice. Bro. If I say it enough, does he pop up over here in a phone booth?
You sure hope so. He's going to sit on your lap.
Well, as long as Alex Winter comes along, I can ask him about the movie Freaked. By the way, if y'all ever want to watch a weird movie, look up the movie Freaked. You can see a Rastafarian giant eyeball that smokes.
Yeah, that's just a no.
I thought it was a great, horrible movie. It's one of those movies that if you're in the mood for a trauma movie, but you've seen all of them, pick that one.
No. Not interested.
Come on, Romeo and Juliet, Freaked by Alex Winter.
Well,
come on.
I would say Romeo and Juliet, but, you know, I mean, cut out the freaked part.
Can I drink first? Can I have a couple of shots and I might watch another trauma movie?
You know, the whole Romeo and Juliet, I thought it was a funny take on how all that would play out. I really do.
You know, that's actually something I don't think they've done in a while. Like a really good spoof of Romeo and Juliet that's both serious and ridiculous at the same time.
Well, they did the one back in like what, the 90s or 2000? Early,
you mean, is that the one they made it was like in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but they use the same language?
Oh, Jesus.
The one with, what's his name from The Aviator?
DiCaprio? Leo?
Yes, DiCaprio. I think I watched that in school.
Yeah, we had to watch it in school too, and I was like, nah.
Wait, The Aviator or Romeo and Juliet?
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet.
They made you watch that? Well, but why? Was it an English class?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, literature. I would have rather watched The Odyssey, but you know that's
so.
The book is better. not of The Odyssey, but
I think that's funny. They stick you in literature class, so they make you watch. See, the interesting thing about that is it's a fairly violent book. So you think that having a violent, you know, a video version of a violent book wouldn't exactly be kosher.
Yeah, you think that.
I've been wrong before.
History, about like 10 minutes ago.
In history class, we watched, I forgot the name of it. It's about the Red Tails in World War II, the Black Squadron.
The Tuskegee Airmen.
Yep. Yeah, I watched the Tuskegee Airmen, the original movie that I'm aware of, which is still one of my all-time favorite movies. I haven't seen the new one.
I haven't either.
I just like the original so much. I was going to say, also because I thought, was it Cuba Gooding Jr. or Cuba Gooding Jr.? I thought he did a good job in the movie. It was in the original, not the remake.
I would agree with you there. I mean, I didn't watch the remake either, but...
Do you have a favorite role of his?
Any me? Of you?
Yeah, because I do.
Oh, Cuba Gooding?
Yeah. I'll go first. Mine's Man of Honor, where he plays the diver, the Navy diver.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That is an amazing movie. I think Robert De Niro's in that movie.
You know, we haven't talked about this show in a while, but American Horror Story, he got in there, I think like 2 seasons ago. And I really enjoy him in that because he plays a different role each season. So you get to see him using his acting abilities. So that would be what I would choose. I like how he's come into it in there. So
I'm glad to see he's doing stuff, because for a while all he did was like really bad movies. Like he has a string of movies I've seen that you're just like,
what was the one he did with the missiles?
The missiles?
Some like weird missile one. I don't remember.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember. Oh, that's going to bug me until I look it up.
I know. I just remember it, but that movie sucked. Yeah, it was like way over dramatic. And I don't know if it's the director or just his take on the role or the part, but he just like took it way too far.
I would say that was the director's fault, though, because it always seemed to me, at least the last couple of dozen movies I've watched, is like the director, if the director doesn't kind of, you know, curtail some of the overacting.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I'm a big fan of Peter Jackson, because he seems to be able to play on people's strong suits. Because you take a look at it, you had... I would say even like look at Elijah Woods, who's not... Reasonably, he's not the greatest actor in the world, but he managed to capture some of the stronger suits. No matter what I think of that version of Bilbo, Frodo Baggins, he was able to play on the strength of his acting ability. Because I think you can say the same thing in Everything's Illuminated. You can see similar strengths that he used in that movie.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I really want to see his World War II movie, though. No, World War I.
There really hasn't been a lot of World War I movies ever really made.
Well, his is supposed to be awesome because he takes real footage and somehow speeds it up. And I've heard.
Yeah, so he took old footage, sped it up to how people would actually move. To I guess he dropped it down to. However, I don't know what he did with the RPMs on that, but then they cleaned it up, colorized it, and then they brought in forensic lip readers to see what the people in the film were saying, and then hired actors from the places that the soldiers were from based on the uniform they were wearing to voice them.
That's awesome. I really want to see that. I've heard nothing but amazing things about that.
Okay, so for you fanboys out there of Cuba Gooding Jr., the film I was trying to remember the name of was Chill Factor.
Chill Factor. When was it made?
99.
Of course, it's Extreme, X-Treme, if it's in the 90s.
A new biological chemical weapon that explodes up to temperatures over 50 degrees Fahrenheit falls into the hands of two men who are trying to... It sounds like a shitty version of The Rock.
It was. It really was.
And The Rock's not a fantastic movie to begin with.
Oh, you take that back. Wow. The Rock is a masterpiece.
Don't get me wrong, I love The Rock, but it's not an amazing movie.
The Chill Factor got a 5.2 IMDb rating. I'm surprised it's that high.
I've never seen it.
I saw it a long time ago, but, you know, just one of those films I'm just like, this thing sucks.
Let me take that back. There's a good chance I've seen it, but I blocked it out of my memory since it was made in 99, so I did probably see it since I've seen it a lot.
I know, oh, gosh.
What?
I just for a second, I saw the director, and it said Hugh, and then it said Johnson.
Oh,
so I saw the Hugh and the J, and I'm like, what? Never mind.
Okay.
Just a weird thing.
So.
Oh, I forgot about this one, too.
So do you have anything to bring to the table, Matt?
For just Cuba Gooding Jr.? Or just in general? I wish I could remember because the superhero thing kind of reminded me. Amazon is doing a thing, or they got something coming out this month, and it's kind of a darker kind of superhero thing. And the only reason why I was really excited about it is because Carl Urban's in it. As far as I'm concerned, Carl Urban can do no wrong.
Oh no, I love Carl Urban. I love his version of Bones. Actually, that's I love DeForest Kelly, but that version of Bones it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, because he just played it so, like, he just had that crazy anxiety and all that. And,
that also reminds me, was it YouTube Premium is doing it's like a Robin Hood with a female Robin Hood, but it's somehow in the future. It's a cartoon. It looks fairly interesting.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah, so the protagonist is female. I don't know much about it because I actually haven't watched it. I don't even know if it's out. But basically, it looks like kind of a dystopian future, and she's somehow hacking to free everything. So the visuals vaguely remind me of Blade Runner, and I guess somehow everybody's really under, like, 1984 security from what I can grasp since I haven't seen it. And since I'm I love animation in general. So
that's kind of interesting because like there was a that just reminded me of this, not to branch too far off, but there was a game came out a few years ago. Capcom made it. It was called Remember Me. And it took place in a dystopic Paris where everybody on Earth was able to share their memories because of an implant at the base of their skull. And you play as a character who gets her memory erased, and then she has to go and find out who she is by basically figuring out there's this huge conspiracy to, you know, kill political dissidents by erasing their memories and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Yes, I probably got quarter of the way through, and then I just wanted to mess with people's memories, and there wasn't enough of that.
Yeah. I got through it once. It's I got it for free.
What is it?
Remember Me.
Oh, okay.
I played it for Xbox, and I remember thinking, oh, this is cool, because I got to the one part where you start really messing with people, and it was just not, I don't know, it didn't really interest me after a fashion. I got kind of irritated at it, actually.
Yeah, there's one part that's kind of, ethically, it's kind of fucked up, but I like it, where you end up, you find a dude who did some really bad wrong, and you, if I remember correctly, you manipulate his memory just enough where he kills himself, and it's like, whoa. But you know,
so we've had a couple of people watching and they all clocked out. Apparently we're not interesting enough.
Oh well,
I might keep doing this. Like, the problem is they're looking at me, not the prettiest man.
No, I brought this up last week. You mentioned gaming. Did you ever play Benny and the Ink Machine?
No, but it sounds like something I need to.
Have you ever heard of it or no?
No.
It's cartoon style horror video game.
Ooh.
Puzzle based. Now, my kid, he was watching all these YouTube things about Benny and the Ink Machine and all this stuff. Benny's an ink demon, and you're trying to figure out what happened at some cartoon studio that you used to be part of. And anyways, it's all horror based, and I gotta say, it's really detailed and does some really creepy things as you play the game. So what I would tell you, I am enjoying it, but I'm also playing it with my son. So like, we take kind of breaks because he'll get like freaked out. He'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm getting kind of scared. I think we should take a break. And so, but yeah, it's a fun game. I'll probably play it on my own once I finish it with him.
So how often do you have to stop? Like 10, 20
minutes?
Maybe
just once a day. Like how long?
Yeah, like say if you play it for an hour, how long within that hour do you have to say, okay, we got to stop, bud?
No, I ask him. So I'll ask him if, you know, if it starts getting like creepy and scary, I'll say, are you okay? You want to keep going?
Now, has he had any like residual nightmares or anything because of it?
Nope. He loves Bendy. He's got like Bendy toys now and Bendy plushes and things like that. He loves awesome. It, but it's just one of those things. It's like there's no like foul language, no grotesque violence or stuff like that. It's just creepy type stuff. That's the really good thing. And I really got to say, I'm highly impressed as to how they put together the horror aspect or, you know, the jump scare. There's no real jump scare type thing.
This is going to be kind of it's not the same thing, but there's a game called System Shock 2. It came out 2030. It came out like 20 years ago, maybe.
System Shock 2. Yeah. It was like 1994.
And it's one of my all time favorite games. And I remember playing it cause I got it, I think maybe when it came out, but I had a subwoofer attached to my computer at the time. And so this game, the people who made it, there's a scene you get on the ship or whatever it is, space station, and it's a very low hertz rumble. And then you start hearing people talking in the background like ghosts, and it freaked me the hell out. Every time I played it up to, like, I haven't played it in probably a decade, but it made your hair raise on end because of the way they did it.
That's awesome. It kind of did the same thing in Dead Space. If you ever had the pleasure of playing that.
I did. I always played it on medium because I was never, I'm not a masochist naturally.
Yeah.
Because I tried it on hard once and said, fuck it, like 2.5 hours into it. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Is it like, what do you mean like difficulty wise? Like,
it's really hard on the difficult setting. On the hardest difficult setting, I found it almost impossible. If I just, it's like playing Halo on the
legendary,
but not as helpful with ammo. Like, you have to be very careful with ammo. Like, you can't overuse it because you'll run out quickly.
Huh.
I got trapped in this one area with a boss. No ammo, no other weapons. I couldn't do anything, and I couldn't go back on my save point without going back too much.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I just said, fuck it.
I soloed Halo on Legendary, so it's like,
I soloed.
It's like, because you only did it.
I never had time is the problem.
Uh-huh. Excuses. Anyways, that's what I'm curious. Like, how...
It's right. If you have time, and it's pretty much if you have time and you play it tactically, it's easy to do.
So it's not like scary horror stuff.
Yes and no.
I mean, is there jump scares? That's the thing that pisses me off is jump scares. Like when it's really quiet and then all of a sudden there's something screaming and chasing
coming at your screen. Would you be scared? No. Would your son? Yes.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be something I would play with your son, because I think there are parts of it that would be scary if he comprehended it. It's a fun game. I like the second and third one. I kind of wish they'd make another one, which they won't.
For which one?
Dead Space.
Dead Space, yeah. EA.
Matter of fact, I kind of want them to make another Mass Effect, because I really liked Mass Effect 4, and it bombed hard.
You mark my words. Then I'll get you on BioWare is going to be dead before the end of the year.
I know. Which sucks, because Mass Effect 4, I really liked. I thought it was fun. Did you play it?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I won't give money to EA. Yeah.
I will, depending on the game. You know, Dragon Age, I absolutely love. I love Mass Effect. There are certain things that I totally would give money to, because I really liked it.
Yeah, I think the last thing I gave EA money for was... Burnout Paradise Remastered.
Oh, geez.
$20. Yep.
What was it?
It was a game where you drive around really fast and crash into shit.
All right. Matter of fact.
That's like the whole premise. You just drive around and crash into stuff. I like that.
Matter of fact, the other thing I want them to make, another Red Faction.
Yes, please.
I loved Red Faction.
Yeah, that was a fun game. Borderlands, I really wasn't into either.
They actually might be announcing a new one. PAX East is happening this month, and Gearbox has a huge keynote they're going to be doing there.
For Red Faction?
No, for Borderlands.
The only issue. What was I thinking? I'm sorry. The one thing I liked about the last one was they actually had a movie tie-in, which I liked. I liked that universe because it's an interesting...
Movie time? They actually had a movie in the game?
Yeah, it was a sci-fi... No, it was an actual... It was like a sci-fi movie. It was a Sci-Fi Channel movie. It actually came out when I had my condominium. And I actually kind of liked it. It was a cheesy movie, but that's the one thing I kind of wish they would do, kind of switch back in the movies, is... be able to do really good quality video game movies, which they've never been able to do. And I think it's because they don't pick the right universe. Like, I think you could tell 1,000 stories in the Mass Effect universe.
Yeah you really could. It's a huge universe.
Dragon Age, I think you could too. I think it would be limited, but I think you could do it. Or actually what I would pay to see is an actual Elder Scrolls movie. Hmm. Like a quality Elder Scrolls movie. I think it would be amazing.
Yeah.
But I'd want it in animation, like quality animation, not what they did with the new Berserk. You know, I want something that's actually quality, because it would be shit in live action. I think if people stick to like animation, Even live capture, like Avatar, I think would be cool.
No, I'm just thinking, like, yeah, you just totally made me think of the Last Airbender at live action. Anyways, I think if they, as far as like doing Elder Scrolls, I think it would be really interesting if they did like the origins of the Black Brotherhood or Dark Brotherhood. Sorry,
oh, and that would then be awesome.
I don't know how good a Mage's Guild one would be though.
No, you sold me on the Dark Brotherhood. Yeah. That's I want a Dark Brotherhood one. the Gray Cowl would be cool.
Yeah.
Who else? Actually, doing one where the was it the Daedra? The
Daedra?
The gods would be pretty badass. Yeah. If depending on how you did it, would be kind of fun. Actually, you know, I think you could do it like a Marvel movie. You could have the Dark Brotherhood, you have the royalty somehow, then you do the Mage's Guild and the Thieves Guild, and in between you read the story of the gods screwing around. I think if you did four movies with, you know, the Mage Guild and all that, I think you could do pretty good. And have them intertwined, like, Marvel-wise, but actually good quality storytelling, not action movie. Because the Marvel movies is basically, it's action porn. It's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty fun if they actually did, like, a Wabba Jack, put that in the game, or the film.
That would be badass. What do you think, Matt?
For Elder Scrolls movie?
Yeah. And feel free to just barge in anytime.
That's all good. I'm not too familiar with any of the Elder Scrolls games. I've never really played them.
They're fun.
Yeah, so I've heard. I might pick up Skyrim at some point in time just because everybody's been hounding me to play that for the last 8 years. Yeah, I mean, it looks fun, but I don't know if I want to sink hundreds of hours into something like that. If I was going to pick a license to make a movie on, it would probably be the Metro series. Because there's a seriously good lack of really good claustrophobic post-apocalyptic movies. I love like Book of Eli and The Road, stuff like that. And I think Metro would fit right in. You just have to do it properly.
I knew there was a reason I liked this guy. He has the same itch that needs to be scratched as I do. Cause I love, one of my favorite things about the 80s is it had a plethora of post-apocalyptic future movies, whether my favorite one is in space, but whether it's planet-based or space-based, I love that particular genre. Cause it's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, and it's infinitely customizable, which is great.
Yeah. Actually, that one, Metro, that's the one that takes place in Russia, right?
Yeah, yeah, in the Moscow metro system. I just picked up the third one and have been knee-deep in that for the better part of a week and a half, and it's massive.
That would be fun. That would actually be kind of cool. I haven't played, I have Red Dead 2, and I haven't had time, and it's one of those things that if I don't stop in a fun spot, I won't want to pick it up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking right now, I'm looking like, I'll keep it and I'll play it, but I'm looking for another game. There hasn't been any lately that really makes me want to get it.
Are you looking for something like super crazy, amazingly fun or goofy or?
I don't know. Like Elder Scrolls, the RPGs are probably my favorite game, and there is not. I'm in between all my favorite RPGs, like Dragon Age. There hasn't been a Dragon Age that come out because I loved Dragon Age 2 with the Inquisition. Elder Scrolls probably won't come out for another 5 years.
If at all.
I'll be 40 if they come out again.
Jeez.
Yeah. Actually, CD Projekt Red is something coming out maybe this year, Cyberpunk 2077.
That's it. Yeah, yes, yeah. That was one that looked interesting because it had some interesting hacking bits. And it's for the Xbox. I'll get it.
I think it's coming out for everything except for the Switch because the Switch won't be able to. It's not powerful enough to play it. But I'm stoked for that because I played the pen and paper game, you know, way back when. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Another game, actually, you'll have to remind me what that's called because I won't remember. But I remember looking into it. Another series I want them to remake because it's one of my favorite video game series of all time is Deus Ex.
Yeah, and you this a little just something kind of cool. The dude who did the music for the first game, he's actually a good buddy of mine. He lives like north, just north of me in Georgetown, Texas.
So he did the original the PC game?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's pretty good. He's a super cool dude.
So if I send you my original disc, will he sign it?
Probably, yeah. I could just be like, hey, I got this thing. Would you mind signing it? And he'd probably be like, fuck yeah, and he'd sign it and send it over.
Because so. I'm pretty sure I have the original PC game in my archive.
Wow.
Because mm-hmm.
I have almost every PC game I've ever purchased.
Yeah, I'm no joke. Yeah, he'd probably be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the band I'm in, we just did a gig with him actually a couple months ago, which was really cool.
That's badass. Because I love Deus Ex is such a fun universe. Mm-hmm. Human Revolution I still play occasionally because it's such a fun game because you can do so much random crap. But that was the one thing. It became a lost, like, for somehow people forgot about it. Like, I've heard for, like, the last 20 years they were supposed to make another System Shock 3, but the IP, you know, the legs of the IP went one way and the head went the other way. And, like, there's so many amazing video games you'll never see because the IP's in different places.
No.
Yeah.
I want to see Shodan again, damn it.
I always enjoyed the Fable games.
Yes. Oh, there was artwork. I saw it on Reddit somewhere the last couple of weeks. I guess it got really close to being released before Microsoft just pulled the legs underneath it.
That's stupid.
Hey, Microsoft, if you're actually listening to this podcast, sell fucking Fable so I can play the next Fable.
No joke. I actually really enjoyed those games, especially because, like you said, you can do so much random shit.
And they were fun.
Yeah.
And right now, excuse me, just because, you know, life is stressful, I've been wanting fun games. Like, Fallout 4 to me is fun because it's a game that has, there's really no repercussions in the game. It's a totally open-ended. I like games like that are long. Like if I restarted Fallout 4, it would probably take me another 2 years to get back to where I am in the game.
Yeah,
just with the amount of time I can play it.
Yeah. That's what I liked about all the Elder Scrolls games is because you could put so much hours into it and you could save it anywhere. That's what I enjoyed.
The only issue I have with with Skyrim is they borked some of my favorite things about it. Like being able to create, create rings and some of the creation elements in Oblivion aren't there. And I think it's because it's a console first instead of a PC.
Mm.
But that was the only part.
Well, yeah, I love the spellcrafting of Oblivion.
By the way, watching you play Oblivion on an Xbox drove me nuts. Because it's basically a PC port, so there's like 1,000 menus within the start. I couldn't do that.
Didn't bother me.
Oh, I'd slit my own throat. Not literally. And if you're going, oh!
Yeah, I was kind of cranky because you got so many more different mods and add-ons on the PC version that you didn't get in the console version.
That's one of the things that I totally dug about, and I haven't played my version of Skyrim on the Xbox in years, but I love what the fact they're doing is Skyrim, Fallout 4, and some other games.
Allowing mods, yeah.
I think that's awesome because what do you do once the game's, you know, once the game's gold and you're no longer doing any actual DLCs, let people make content for you. It'll last forever if you do that, which I think is a smart way to go.
I agree, but I think they need whoever is the mod makers, like, expect people to break your mod. I've done it.
I think
multiple different mods, I've broken them.
I think the problem is it's the fact you're putting mods on mods, and I think if you get one mod might interfere with the other. I don't think they're all cohesive.
No, you're right in that, but you can always read what they are, and you can tell if they're going to be...
Because on my version
compatible.
On my version of Fallout, the only ones I have is I have the unlimited building supply and I have the one that removes the height requirement or limitation. I'm building so I can build as much in any one spot, which also has a limitation. It slows it down. On my particular home base, I have so many weapons that when one bad guy comes in there, it literally causes my Xbox to freeze.
See, but I always liked being able to... This is the difference between playing on a console and playing on PC is I like finding glitches in game that I can exploit. Like in Fallout 4, it was the fusion cores. I found the glitch for that before they started putting mods out. In Skyrim, I found how to access the Khajiit chest, and you could ransack the crap out of that. There was other ones as well, but you know, those are, that's one that sticks out. In Oblivion,
yeah,
you know, I freaking like broke the shit out of that game.
So are there any video games that you guys, any characters in video games that you wanted to kill but you couldn't? Because I have got two. For the old school gamers, it's the dog in Duck Hunt. And for the fairly new school gamers, it's Guilty Sparks. I wanted to murder the shit out of that little flying bastard.
Yeah. There's some there's a couple characters in Red Dead I wouldn't mind taking out, but Navi from Legend of Zelda.
Oh wow.
Hey, listen, over and over. I don't care.
Well, that reminds me. I'll have to figure out what the new version of Zelda is. I bought my wife a Switch a couple of years ago, and I've been wanting to play the new Zelda game.
Breath of the Wild.
That's it. Thank you. Because I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Guilty Spark. That's who I would have wanted to have killed. I mean, technically, we did kill Captain Keyes, so I guess that really doesn't count.
The Captain Keyes thing, the character I didn't hate. It's just the fact I hate protection missions, because it's protection missions in video games is always the MacGuffin of where you get bogged down and then bogged down and then bogged down. And that just pisses me off. Like the library in Halo was perfect to bog down, but didn't have the MacGuffin of the stupid character that we somehow had to protect.
Yeah. I just thought of one, but I don't really remember her name, so let me find it. It was the...
Well, you're looking at... There was another game. It was a Mech Warrior had a tendency to have protection missions, which I hated. I loved the game, but once you get to a protection mission, I usually stop playing it and will never play it again because I absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I liked Bioshock Infinite so much, because once you got Elizabeth, there was a thing that popped up that just said, don't worry, she can take care of herself. Like, almost verbatim, that's what it said.
Yeah, so. I was so sad that was the last one. I was really hoping they would do more, because I loved those games. They were so much fun.
Yeah, you're right, but the only problem with doing the one that they did with Infinite was they could either do... It was either you don't do anymore, or you keep just pumping them out.
Yeah, that's the issue. Because the first and second one actually had amazing storytelling. I thought that was the one thing the third one a little bit was missing, was the richness to the story. It even had some of the visuals that I loved, because I loved that the visuals of whatever the place was called. Because I'm absolutely a giant fan of Art Deco.
Oh, Rapture.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I was kind of hoping maybe they would do a prequel somehow. I don't know how you would do it, but I thought it'd be kind of fun if they figured out a good way to actually integrate it, which might be hard.
Yeah. I mean, they did some DLC for Infinite that kind of was a bit of a prequel. Yeah. Burial at Sea is actually really good.
Now you're making me want to go to my archive to see what PC games I have. Cause I have games like Johnny Mnemonic, the video game. And that's when they actually, what they call it, like cinematic video games. There's an actual term they used, but it was like a movie, but it was interactive. And Johnny Mnemonic, the video game, is single-handedly the worst video game I've ever played. It's the most frustrating because there was no instructions, no how do you play the game. You would just hunt and peck. And I remember as a kid when I got it, I did something and I could never reproduce it. I had no idea what key I hit. And I just it's like, fuck this.
All right. So it's the Asian lady from Fallout 4 that is in Sanctuary.
Oh, that bitch.
Yeah, I can't find her name. But I mean, I love what I did. I sicked one of my robots on her. And so it continually kills her all the time. But that brilliant. One and the little girl from Skyrim in white.
Is that the little girl that constantly comes up to you?
Yeah.
She's annoying.
Talks crap. Her name starts with a B, but I can't remember.
Bitch.
Marcy Long.
Yes.
I think is from Sanctuary and Fallout.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, cause she's just so annoying. So
I think I caught she ended up somehow into my house in Fallout 4 and I couldn't get her the fuck out of it.
See, I like what I did where I just have the robot constantly killing her, so whenever I go to Sanctuary I don't have to deal with her because she's either dying or running for her life. So
that's hilarious.
That's what I did. You know, I made the arena thing, but I spawned the robot outside of it. Yeah.
You know, the building was probably my second favorite part of Fallout 4.
See, I didn't really enjoy that because I did so much of it early on that by that time, I'm just like, I have no desire to build anything else.
Well, because I mainly focused on my area. Like, I added this impenetrable fortress that only I had access to, and it was really fun. My favorite part is that I made this bridge over the roadway with all these guns. And so it was fun getting bad guys to come in it because you would just see them get annihilated and it would kill some of my townspeople because they would just get caught up in the blast.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I was just done with building.
Yeah, maybe it's an age thing, but there hasn't been a whole lot of video games within, I'd say, the last 5 years that really made me want to go out and get them.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward to Red Dead, but really nothing I've been jumping for joy over.
Yeah, because there's nothing because there's games, there's series that I really like, and I've been waiting for the series to come out. But like Matt said, because they're EA, there's a good chance they'll never come out again because, you know, EA, if they can't milk it to billions or put loot boxes in it, they don't want anything to do with it.
I'm just going to keep on going with microtransactions.
Yeah. Actually, funny thing is loot boxes might be a thing of the past here pretty soon.
They got to pass
several countries. Well, in several countries, it's illegal to have loot boxes in gaming because it's considered gambling.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it really? I have a hard time considering gambling when the outcome is completely known. I mean, it's.
Well, except that it's not. It's like, I'm going to pay real money to get these loot boxes, and I don't know what I'm going to get out of them. I might get nothing.
Well, I mean,
technically, that's gambling.
No, I mean, you're right, but I meant on their end. They know. I mean, it's not like. I would even consider that like a slot machine. That's more like a fuck you machine because they're going to, you know, they're going to screw you. Like. Because you have to spend a ton of money to get anything good.
Yep.
And it's like that $50 mark, you finally get something that's worth it. And I hate microtransactions. That's the one thing I hate about cell phone gaming is in-app purchases. And they make the games in such a way that you have to spend real money in order to further the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That pisses me off.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I'm
do billing support for companies like that. Yeah.
You know, because I'm an old school gamer. I've been playing video games since Atari. So I know what it is when you have video games that suck. And some of those crappy old video games are a lot better than any of those fucking things with microtransactions. I truly despise that.
I'd agree. That's why I loved the Bethesda games, because it was on you to basically turn your own character into God mode, which I always did.
Bethesda's getting into trouble, though. What was it? Their new game...
Fallout 76, if you can even call it.
Oh, God, yeah, let's not even talk. Yeah.
It's because I keep hearing memes. Apparently, I'm tripping. I keep seeing...
That's me, sorry. Oh, I said beeps. That was me.
I saw a meme where it says, a guy playing Fallout 76. Is there anybody out there? It's like, oh, yeah. Damn, that's
a good one. I like that.
And I was really looking forward to Fallout 76. I was going to get it, and I actually chose it over Red Dead just because my luck with sort of any sort of MMO. Like, if I want to buy an MMO, guaranteed it's going to suck. Just to let you guys out there know that if I'm excited about something, don't get it. Especially if it's an MMO, just say John wants it, don't get it. Because my history with MMOs is...
You got... The Star Wars one and the...
The Star Wars one was
fun. Elder Scrolls, did you get the Elder Scrolls one?
Elder Scrolls was boring. I liked the Star Wars one. I just wasn't willing to pay for it because it wasn't that fun.
Ah.
If that makes sense.
No, it does.
Speaking of MMOs, you might get a kick out of this. Are you familiar with the game Conan Exiles?
Yes. I've never played it, but I know of it.
So the company that's making that, they actually just secured the license to do a Dune MMO.
Is it based off of the more serious, or is it based off the stupid one that came out recently?
Wait. What do you mean?
Well, like Doom 3, I really liked.
Not Doom. Dune. D-U-N-E.
Oh, D-U-N-E. So they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Doom.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I tried to enunciate, but it didn't work out too good.
No, I'm hard. I'm hard as hearing as fuck.
I heard him.
So I'm a giant fan of the Dune universe. The book itself is like reading the A+ certification manual for computer repair.
Yeah, it's true.
They can go either way. I don't know how you would make it exciting. And I honestly mean this because I love the universe. It's a great place for rich storytelling, but how do you make that fun?
The only way I've seen it work really, really well, and it wasn't an MMO, but it just came out, 2001, 2002, and it was a Dune, an RTS game, like Command & Conquer.
Yeah, those been out for a while. I remember playing them.
It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. I want it to be fun, because I love... See, that's the problem, like... With so many of these MMOs, like, I get excited, and it's like, they just...
Damn it, John's excited again.
That's the problem. Is the moment I get excited about an MMO, for historically speaking, like, what was it? I bought an MMO that was supposed to be, like, the first-person shooter MMO.
All right.
I don't remember what it was called, but it came out...
Gun-Gala Online?
No, it was... I forgot what it was. I bought it, and it was fun, but then you can't find anybody there because the game apparently didn't catch on. You're like
Fallout 76. Hello.
Yeah, like I was playing it with a friend of mine, and him and I
hello. Because
the center of the map is where everybody is. Apparently this game had been out long enough that nobody played anything else but the center of the map. Mm. And if you're a noob that goes there, you get absolutely annihilated. I forgot what the game is called, and they're coming out with a second one.
Oh, The Division.
Yes. Division was fun. I enjoyed it, but it became a point where you just couldn't,
do shit.
Yeah.
I just don't play with people, but I have a much, much more fun time.
The only people I really enjoy playing with, honestly, is James, and I want to play with Ryan just because James and I have been playing for so long that we never technically have to say a word in video games, and we know what we're going to do. Just because we've been friends for so long. Like, playing Halo against people when it was James and I was hilarious. Just because people would be talking and we would just be like, look at this guy. He's trying.
Trying so hard. Dead.
It's so cute to watch him try.
Damn noobs.
Because my favorite story revolving that is James came up from living in Los Angeles and he brought one of his roommates, and my favorite game on the first Halo was Rocket Arena because I figured out fairly fast the physics of rockets. And so I absolutely annihilated this guy multiple times. And he was visually becoming pissed because he would walk 10 feet, die, walk 10 feet, walk, you know.
The freaking homeschool kid, though.
Oh, that guy was crazy. So at the time, I was really good at Halo. I was obnoxiously good. And then I decided, I forgot where it was, but you're playing against a kid who was homeschooled, and I got schooled hardcore, and I was really good at Halo. And I mean really good.
Yeah, this kid just wiped the floor with both of us. I was like, damn, dude.
It's like, you need to legitimately play. You need to make money at this, because if you're... You know, not to sound like I'm bragging, but you're really freaking good, man.
Yeah, he didn't even really try, it seemed like, either.
No, not at all.
I wonder if he was playing in, like, some guild or league. I never asked. I probably should have. They had those back then. They had the Halo leagues.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss. We're coming up to the end, and this has probably just been us rambling about video games and movies, which is, you know, take it or leave
it. Who cares? I'll stab you.
I miss the first Halo. The reason why is because the first Halo, I always thought it was an incomplete video game because there weren't invisible walls. There weren't limitations. It was one of those games that if you had time and you could figure it out, you could go anywhere in the map. And especially at first, there were a lot of glitches and hidden things in the game that the Guilty Sparks level, if you threw a grenade, you would stay with the plane. All sorts of stuff that you had to play to figure out. And I remember figuring that out, and like everybody I know who had an Xbox, like, oh no, you can't do that. And once I did that, like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I just still remember coming out of one of the bridge sections and just killing two hunters without waking anybody up with the pistol, quick two shots, kill the hunters. And then for the rest of that whole save section, everything was dead. And I'm sitting there like tripping out on this, and I'm like, what the hell happened? And then 2 years later, when the internet got bigger and there was more gaming discussions going on, I found out that I wasn't the only one that experienced this. And I'm like, it was just a hidden thing in the game, which I really thought was really cool. But yeah, it was one of those things. It's like, you can tell people about it, but unless they see it happen, they're not going to be like, yeah, whatever, you know, but that's what I liked about it. Like with the Tony Hawk game, where, what was I at? Like 8 billion points? Yeah.
Yeah.
One trick.
It actually locked up.
Yep.
Maybe it's just because at this point I'm getting older and I know what I like in video games, probably same way most new movies don't really wow me because I know genres I like. I know what's in my wheelhouse, storyline, plot line, and there's really nothing new. So I'm thinking that's why there's not a lot of video games that wow me anymore.
Oh, wait, they could do zombies. Oh, wait, never mind. Nazis?
There's something you might get a kick out of. It's coming out in June. It's a Lovecraft-inspired detective, like mystery detective game.
Open world.
You have no objective markers. You have to talk to people, like look at like crime scenes and stuff to figure out what you need to do in order to like go through the narrative.
I have to admit, I like objective markers. I'm not the best at getting hints in video games.
That's the thing. There's no hint system either. It's you just go.
Didn't they do that recently with the game?
That's an old school trick too.
Yeah.
I remember when Elder Scrolls Oblivion came out and people were bitching, I don't want it to point the way. I love figuring it out. And then somebody later on said, then turn it off, dumbass.
You're right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. Just turn it off, idiot. You could. That's why I like the Dark Brotherhood, because a lot of the Dark Brotherhood, they didn't really give you quests. And even, I mean, I am a sociopath when it comes to video games. But, you know, it was like I killed people and all of a sudden I'm like, what the hell is this? Get the hell out of here, you know? And even the Dark Brotherhood, even most of their quests, they didn't give you actual pointers. Or map markers and shit like that.
I just want my immortal horse not to die.
Mm. Oh, well. Sorry, that's DLC.
It is. I did put it on Shadowmare.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I got sick of it because it's bullshit.
This evil undead horse can die.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
The first time that happened to me in Skyrim, I was like, I'm done. I'm not going to finish the Dark Brotherhood. You're like, how does fucking Shadowmare die?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. The maybe possible Bree, if you're listening. As always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.